Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. We have been having some technical difficulties here, and usually it doesn't work when the guests call in. At least it doesn't work for me, but that is what I'm going to have to try to have done. The guest is going to be calling in, and so I will have to find something to talk about for a few minutes while he's trying to call in. And I don't know what's going on here. Hello, David, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. How's it going?
Oh, good. So I take it you can hear me.
You can hear me, right?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Awesome.
The reason why I usually call the guest is because, at least for me, the way that Blog Talk Radio works, or does it work, whichever way you want to look at it, when the guest calls in, we have all kinds of problems getting on the air. So it just saves a lot of trouble for me to call the guest. So you're actually the first one that it's worked for.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, I guess I'm
so
on
you have that. Yeah, you have that distinction. So how are you doing tonight?
I am doing wonderful. I've been so excited to do this. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll just get right into it. I mean, you're still a young guy. You're, what, 24, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, now, so how old were you when you were pretty sure that you wanted to start filmmaking?
So this actually goes way back, honestly. I'll try to shorten it up a little bit. But to sum things up, basically, I have just publicly went public this past year. I think it was 8 months ago, right around the 18th. It'll be 8 or 9 months since I released
my first
trailer.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yes.
Can I interrupt you for just a second, David? I am so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe we have a caller. Are you there, caller?
I am, actually.
Okay. If you wouldn't mind holding on just a minute, David was in the middle of a sentence.
Oh, no.
Do you mind waiting?
No, not at all. Please
okay.
Continue, David.
Okay, go ahead, David. Sorry about the interruption. The caller will wait until you're done.
Oh, no worries. But yeah, like I was saying, it'll be 8 or 9 months since I actually went public with my short film debut, which started off with Riker back in, I believe it was November. But other than that, yeah, I've actually been doing this since I was 5 years old. I knew whenever I was a kid, I was told to follow my dreams, and it seems like I'm the only one that really stuck to that as I turned older. acting was something I knew I wanted to do for a very long time. I was 6 years old, and I was in, like, first grade, and everyone had to make a little report, and I made a little screenplay of horror movies and rock and roll and pro wrestling. It was all over the place.
Aw. Okay, so, caller, if you would identify yourself, please, and then say whatever your question or comment.
Actually, this is Dan Loria.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
All right, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been looking at your work ever since Mac asked me to check it out, and I think you have a lot of promise and potential as far as being an indie film person. I'm a little curious about your wrestling side, though, because I thought I read that you're a huge fan, but then I also thought I read that you're actually a wrestler. Is that correct?
A long time ago. So long story short, I'm not professionally trained, but I do have a lot of experience in professional wrestling. Of course, outside of the love, I am a huge what? To summarize up for the fans who are listening who don't follow wrestling, I am what you call a smart mark. there's definitely the love for wrestling. There was, for a very long time, a legitimate passion and interest to actually get involved in the business. But a lot of backyard wrestling gave me a lot of concussions, and I have a lot of head injuries. And I think in this career, it provides more longevity in acting and filmmaking. But yeah, pro wrestling, I have so much respect and love for anybody who does that craft, that art.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mac, is it all right if I hang out with you guys tonight, or do I need to ask
sure.
a question and then get off? Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, no, you can stay
fine,
on
Dan.
The whole show if you want to and interject something when you feel like it. Yeah, if you were done with what you were saying right now, then I'll just go and continue, if you don't mind.
Hey, it's your show. That your rules?
Well, only sort of, because I kind of go by the guest, and you're the guest of a guest is the way I guess you look at it, because the guest is David. Okay, so let me move on. I was going to ask about the wrestling, but you've already covered that. Okay, so you live in Cumberland, Maryland. Now, that's
correct.
Like, what, 140 miles or something like that west of Baltimore?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's pretty far. It's about
yeah.
2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Something like a 3 hour or longer drive. And one of the main reasons why I asked is because Dan didn't say, at least not on the air, he didn't say, but he has a wrestling school and, you know, in a studio, and he was curious about you coming out there, but then once he learned that you live so far away, he thought, well, that's not going to happen. And so I said to him, well, you never know, maybe he needs to have a vacation sometime or something, and so he might want to, you know, check it out. But you know, it probably won't happen, but that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask. Now, another thing that I'm sorry, were you going to say something about that?
No, I was just going to say, no, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
Well, you're
yeah,
always welcome
there's...
if you happen to ever be near Claymont, Delaware.
Yeah, I actually have a friend who's actually in the movie that I'm in, The Choice, who's a pro wrestler, whose name is Crazy Che, also known as Eric Che, and I think he lives down there in Russell's for Asylum Pro Wrestling.
Actually, he was the head trainer for Asylum Pro Wrestling. We're in the same building.
Okay.
He's the one who actually started, how do I explain this? He convinced the person who rents that facility to start doing a pro wrestling school. And he has since moved on to, he has Asylum up in Clearfield, Pennsylvania, which is like dead smack in the middle of Pennsylvania. So it's about 4 hours northwest of our current location. So since I had known him from before, and because of him got to know the owner of the facility, I made arrangements with him, and basically now I run the school that's currently there. So, yeah, it's a small world that you know Eric. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That's super cool, though. Eric's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that is a small world. You two guys already have somebody in common that you didn't even know of.
Correct. Yeah, I did. Because you know me, Beck. When I do my show, I always do a lot of research on. Okay, so just out of force of habit, when you asked me to come on with, you know, hang out with David, you know, I started looking on, I started trolling your page, David. I apologize.
You're not the first.
But yeah, I didn't even notice Eric on there, so that is really kind of funny. I was too busy looking at all your acting friends to try to give them some cheap promos for them, because I love the one. I don't know if this has anything to do with any of your two current films, but there's one with this girl in a mirror, and she's wiping the mirror down, and on the other side is some killer clown, and she just gives up and throws the rag at the mirror and walks away. And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah, she is our special effects in this movie, The Choice. Her name is Megan Bradley. She is so awesome. She's very phenomenal. She's actually worked on Sid Haig as Captain Spaulding right before he passed away. So she has a bright future. So yeah, she's awesome. That's Megan.
Yeah, yeah, that little video was wow. I really love that too because I know the one he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that you, or at least you know, I've heard that you play the guitar and you sing. Now, do you do
yeah.
live gigs or you just do it like as a hobby?
So I was actually a musician for about 15 years, publicly.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually kind of had to get away from it because, you know, they say this in pro wrestling a lot. Stan will be able to probably relate to this. You do it so much and you get so much ridicule a lot of times and the passion just kind of finds its way out of you. And it just you're just beating a dead horse anymore. And that's how I felt with music. I knew I had to go with my true craft, which was acting, and I was too scared to really let myself be me and showcase to the world what I knew I had inside of me to showcase. And what that required was me giving up a sacrificing music. And I say I made the right choice, and I'm so much happier. But yes, I am a musician. I can still pull out the guitar and sing if I need to.
Well, I was curious because I do have another filmmaker friend, and I'm just going to go ahead and say his name because I'm sure he wouldn't mind. His name is Joe Sherlock. You may even know him. He still does live gigs, but his love is filmmaking. But that's one of the reasons why I was curious because I know that some people do both, but others have to pick one over the other. So,
yeah.
Now, I wanted to start as close to the beginning as I could with, I mean, other than, you know, when you were a kid, thinking about the filmmaking business. But I'm going by IMDb now, so if there's something before that, you would have to tell me because I only know from what I saw on IMDb. But
sure.
Starting in 2013, and that would be when, this is for the listeners, when you were only 17 years old, and
yes.
From 2013 to 2016, you were doing a little TV series called Struggling, and you wrote something like 7 episodes. You acted in 6 of them. You directed 4. You edited 1, and you also produced 1. So
yes.
Tell us about working on that little TV series and what it was like to do each one of those different jobs.
Well, so here's a little tidbit about that show. I actually wrote the script for the first episode of Struggling back in 2008. So I would have been probably 10 years old or something like that. I was really
young.
But it's, I don't know if you're familiarized with TV shows like Drake and Josh, Keenan and Kel, all that, The Amanda Show, the Nickelodeon classic from the 90s. The whole show was to pay homage to my all-time favorite TV series, which is Drake and Josh. So it was a lot of goofiness going on. It's completely different from any of the films that anyone who has seen my work has seen. It's quite a 180. But it was really just me, my best friend, Russell Ketterman, who's also an actor and filmmaker, who I do all my projects with. And it was just us two, and we had the storyline of basically two ex-girlfriends who break up with their ex-boyfriend, which is me and Russell. And, it turns out, you know, hey, we're going to get you over these girls, and we end up accidentally falling in love with each other's ex, which would have led to a wedding and everything, a double wedding, and hell of a storyline.
Well, that sounds pretty cute to me. What do you think, Dan?
Actually, it's different. I like it. He's subverting expectations.
It's still in my dreams to do it one day. It's just I need to focus on the more serious stuff, and if I can ever get a budget behind it, it's definitely something I want to pitch to a network.
It's definitely something we could use in a wrestling storyline if he ever wants to write for wrestling.
Never
and
say
he
never.
Is being
say that all the time in wrestling.
And he is being serious, David, because he's already talking with a producer that's actually a pretty close friend of mine about starting a Wrestlers in Space. And I know it sounds kind of ridiculous in a way, but it's actually a serious thing. So he really means it when he's talking about having you possibly write. Hey, you never know. Like you say, never say never.
Yep.
Now, it's purposely ridiculous because one of my best friends was a huge fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the comic book, before anybody had even heard of it. And I'm like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, how would a turtle even be a ninja, let alone the rest of it? And I, again, doing my research, I found out that the guy who wrote it put the most ridiculous things together that you could possibly think of in order to attract attention to the comic book, and that's what he came up with. And very much like David, ironically, I've been an actor and a musician and left those two for the same reasons that he left being a musician, in that, you know, there's a lot of criticism and a lot of backstabbing and this and that and the other thing, and I'm like, whatever, dude, you do you, you know. And I landed on the wrestling one. But in the back of my mind, you know, I still like the idea of doing a musical, and my favorite all-time thing to do is like sci-fi. So Star Trek is like really up there. So I did okay, what three things do I love, regardless of whether or not they would all sound ridiculous together? And I came up with Pro Wrestling in Space, the musical.
Okay, David.
Yeah.
In, I believe it was 2014, you did a little short called A Lost Valentine. So, I mean, I could pretty well kind of figure out what it was about on my own, but for the listeners, I'll let you give a little synopsis and then tell us what it was like working on that.
Oh, that brings me way back. These were the days where I was making stuff and nothing was developed. There was no real storyline. It was just this average, everyday, normal guy who loved his family, cared about his health. He was all optimistic about everything in life. And then all of a sudden, he wakes up on Valentine's Day out of all days to realize that the love of his life keeping him going was no longer there. It was a pretty relatable short film. Pretty cliche, I'll be honest. And it was just, I think it was like my first ever film that I ever did. And I was still in high school when I made this, I believe. Well, no. It released in 2014. I actually filmed it in 2012. So I would have been in 12th grade when I filmed it. But yeah, that was just one of those experimental kind of films, really. Kind of goes under the radar. But I probably prefer to keep it that way.
You know what? Sometimes the things that, well, actually, any person that does anything, but since we're talking about filmmaking, actors and even other things like directors and things like that, they look back at things and think, oh, well, you know, I didn't really like the way that came out. And really, there's nothing wrong with it, or it's even very enjoyable. And one of the good ones that I like to use that a lot of people don't know about, but I have this friend called Will Dukakis. You may or may not have heard of him. And he made this film called Macabre Medicine. And he was kind of like talking down on it. And when I had seen it, I thought, oh, this movie is a hoot. And I just laughed through the whole thing. And which is okay, because he intended for it to be funny. You know, it's not so good if they don't intend for it to be funny and you're laughing at it. But I thought, wow, and especially considering it was his first foray into filmmaking, and he had, like, no budget, and it just was, I thought it was really, really good, especially for a first attempt. And then he started thinking about it, not just from me, but from other people telling him as well, that, no, that movie's not that bad. And then he started looking at it in a different light, that, well, yeah, it was my first time. I did as good as I could, and it actually didn't look that bad. So when you're a little bit older, And I know you hear this a lot when you're 24. When you get a little bit older, you'll probably be able to appreciate the work that you did on these little films.
Yeah, I believe it.
You probably hear that a lot from us old fogies, that, and I'm just being funny because I'm 60 and I don't consider myself an old fogey, but people that are 24, they do consider 60-year-olds old fogies. So, but us old fogies probably say that to you all the time. Oh, well, you'll understand when you get older. I know I heard it a lot when I was 24, and I'm sure that Dan did too.
Yeah, and I keep on forgetting I'm actually a year younger than you because I'm not used to people being older than me.
Well, so getting back to David and getting off of my age, no, I really don't care. I don't care how old I am. Even if I was 70, I would proudly say I'm 70. Now, you had mentioned this already, but I want us to go a little bit more into depth on it. You had talked earlier about that little short, Riker, and I think it had a longer title. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it had a longer title than just Riker. But you produced, and you were the director of photography and the editor and the director and the actor and a writer. And, boy, you just really went whole hog on the different jobs on that one. So go into more depth on that particular one, please.
Yes, so Riker is where it all began. So this is where everything where I'm at right now with my new feature film, that's where it all – like I still to this day with my new feature and everything, I write everything, I direct everything. I edit everything, but yes, and back to answer your question about the title change. It was originally a movie called The Case of Ben Riker, but we just, it was one of those ideas after it was already created, which is shortness. Let's just make it more unique. So I just wanted to go with Riker. This was my first ever short film that I showcased to the world that's still up there, that everyone can go on YouTube and see, and it was a chance where I was like, having some bad depression episodes, so I talked to my best friend, Russell, that I told you about, and I was just like, I just want to move away from music, and I just want to finally let the whole world see everything about acting. Because a little side note, people in this town, not everybody, but a lot of people in the town I'm in, they don't understand the craft that I do. They don't understand this isn't L.A., so it's so different to have something different than a 9-to-5 job and to do this for my career. So I deleted a lot of people and the naysayers from my town, and I added filmmakers all over the world, actors, writer, actresses, directors, producers. And then I let it all out in this performance as Riker, as a character named Ben Riker. And all of a sudden, it just seemed like it clicked, and to this day, it was the best decision of my life I've ever made to this day.
Yeah, that's actually where I had heard of you. Well, actually, from a mutual friend, but they had been talking about that particular film and how great it was. So there you go. People all over the world are talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I met a lot of famous celebrities through that movie on, like, I don't want that to come off like he's bragging. Just in general, that's how I've been able to meet a lot of connections because of that. And I'm just so grateful for that opportunity and to learn so much and continue to learn and accept that when I'm 60, that I'm going to keep learning every day I wake and be able to be humble enough to accept that and accept that I'm going to fail a billion times and I have to continue to stand up each time I get knocked down. It's not just cliche.
Oh.
It's truth.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there's nothing wrong with tooting your own horn. It's one thing to toot your own horn, and it's one thing to toot it all day long. So as long as you're not doing that, there's nothing wrong with tooting your own horn. And it's not really bragging. You're just letting people know. Like, I know a lot of famous people, but I also only know some of them because I have a famous uncle, which I never say his name because I did that one time and one time only, and it ended up causing so much trouble for my uncle and for me that I've never done it again. And we're not even friends on Facebook for that reason, because they had gone through his Facebook and caused all kinds of trouble for him there. So we're not even friends on Facebook. But like I told another guest, I don't have to be his friend on Facebook. I know where he lives. I have his phone number, so we don't need to be friends on Facebook. But my point in bringing that up is that it's not really bragging. You're just saying, hey, I know these people. And I'm not sure, you know, how Dan feels about that, but I think he feels the same way, because he knows a lot of people. Some of them he met through me, and I've met some people through him. And it's actually called networking. It's not really bragging for you to say that you know somebody. You're a networker now.
Yeah, absolutely. My point with it is just, you know, you never know. If you just have an iPhone, you have a talent, you have a dream, you have a passion, and you have a good idea, write it down. You never know who can see it. And that's really the point of why I brought that up, is just really for anyone listening to this or anyone hearing this at all, just to be able to be like, look, I have a dream, and I'm just tired of sitting around. I know I can make it happen, even if the world says I can't. I'm just going to at least try, because then you can say you did that. And again, never say never applies here too. And I hope that that is more so a case of you never know what can happen.
Yeah.
So while I'm listening to you guys talk, I'm actually watching Riker. Obviously with the sound off, so that I don't interrupt anything. And his choice of lighting is absolutely incredible. Because he's sitting here, it looks like a two shot, and it's going back and forth between him and the person that he's talking to. And at one point, I'm at the point where he's picked up the knife, and I'm not going to do any spoilers because he's still talking with the knife. And the way he reflects the knife so that the light reflects off the knife and hits his face, that is. Very advanced work there. It's like, you know, I don't know how many people who do indie films would actually think to do something like that, but well done, David, if you don't mind me giving you the compliment.
No, I absolutely appreciate it. That was on purpose, and I'm glad someone finally caught that. So thank you.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm very visual, so I'm glad I mentioned it.
Yeah, you're the first one who has ever told me they caught it, so I'm glad that worked. So thank you.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so and not because I don't want to. It's because you may or may not know. I think you do know, because probably some of our mutual friends told you. But I'm a semi-professional reviewer, and I've still got a few movies stacked up here that I actually was contracted to write reviews for that I haven't even watched yet. So I kind of need to get to them first, and then I'll get to ones that I'm not contracted to write reviews for, which would be, you know, Riker. But because I am a reviewer, I noticed the little things that a lot of people don't notice, and I was talking about this on another show, that an editor is like a hero of the filmmaking business. Because so many times, a scene will be, and then once the editor gets in there and cleans it up, it's like, wow, that's a great scene. And it was the editor that did the whole thing. But for the general public, most people don't even realize there is an editor until something happens and it's bad editing. Then they notice that there's an editor, because they're not doing their job. But the general public, that's the only time they notice it. Because when I've done my reviews, sometimes I say, oh, and the editing was terrific. And I've had people actually come to me and say, what are you talking about? The editing was really good. And then I have to explain to them how I know the editing is good. So I'm sorry if you were going to say something before. Go ahead if you wanted to comment on editing, because I know you edit. So you go ahead and make some comments there.
Yeah, so editing, is so important and crucial to a film. I've been editing since I was 6 years old. I'm self-taught with everything: acting, editing, writing, directing. But yeah, editing, I mean, the editor is the storyteller. You know, we have the control to really lighten up and spice up a scene that was potentially, like you said, meh, or just something needs a little flair about it. Editing can be your best friend, or it can be your worst enemy, depending on the skill level of the person editing. The same mm-hmm. goes for a writer. And because, like, writers get a lot of disrespect in the sense of when you watch a movie, they'll quote something, and they'll quote the actor. Yes, the actor delivered the line, but let's quote the person who gave them that line, who created it, which is the writer.
Right.
So I think it's all a respect thing that should be given to everyone: the director of photography, the editor, of course the actor, but of course the director, but also the people whose hats aren't really spoken about.
Oh, yeah. When I do my reviews, I mention all of those things. Well, not every single little thing down to a gaffer and stuff like that, but I talk about cinematography, editing, directing, acting, writing, producing, and, you know, more noticeable things. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I even talk about other things like location shots. And there's a friend of mine called, and I'm giving some people some shout outs here. I hope you don't mind me doing this, David.
No, you are totally fine.
Okay, thank you. So there's a friend of mine called Dave Castelloni, and he did this film called Deep Undead. And I promised him I was going to work it in somewhere on somebody's show, so I guess it's yours. But it's a nice little movie that he made a while back, but it just recently was put out onto DVD. And basically what it is vampires under the sea. They're underwater. And so a lot of the movie is done underwater, obviously. Now, Dave Castelloni, the big thing about him is he is like an expert, a master at underwater photography. And it is very, very noticeable and very awesome watching it in this movie, Deep Undead. So when I wrote my review for the film, I made sure that I mentioned that. That was the big draw to it, was the stellar underwater photography. And see, a lot of people don't even think about stuff like that. They'll watch a movie that has underwater shots, and they don't think anything about what that takes to film that scene.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people don't think that a little thing like two guys in a boat in the middle of an ocean, it seems like it's something that's easy, but it's not. And I know that you know this.
Yeah, absolutely. The people who are listening to this, who do the jobs that aren't really spoken about, I see you. We all see you. We know you're doing your thing,
yeah.
And you're doing an awesome job at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely... Go ahead, Dan.
No, I'm sorry, Mac. I was just going to say one of the things I love about David already is his sincerity in his speech. Whether it be the written word or the verbal. Mac, do you mind if I quote something that David said in another interview?
No, go right ahead.
Okay, so this is David.
If he doesn't care, I don't.
I'm grateful for the world of cinema, and I truly hope to set an example to others someday of proving that if you chase after a dream and keep standing back up after every time you get knocked down, that it can become a reality. The dream doesn't have to be a dream. David Clare Bennett. And that's just, yeah. I mean, I know, David, you mentioned that you had a little bit of wrestling in you. But, I mean, from not just an actor or musician standpoint, but especially from what I do now, having my wrestling school. From a wrestling standpoint, that whole idea of it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up again. That's an incredible way to look at life, you know. Mm-hmm. So to the point that you guys, and the reason why I'm quoting this now is because to the point that you just made about recognizing everybody who has anything to do with your films and your success, you know, if you don't mind me saying, in the 30 plus glorious years that I've been doing wrestling, you know, I've noticed that a lot of people in the wrestling business will notice you either good or bad, okay, when you're in a locker room, when you're in the ring, okay? But then when you're doing something else like that we, like I would consider like a supporting role, which is something as even as doing the producing, you know, producing the TV series or whatever, you know, they don't notice that those people exist unless I call it a live video edit because it's a better an example of what is actually I'm doing. For TV, for live TV, it would be called the technical director. But I'll be doing a live video edit, and the wrestler, or as we call in the business, the worker, does not notice that I exist until he looks at the Titantron and sees that I'm the one who's actually making it look good on screen, okay? And then he'll come up to me and he'll say, oh, how did I look in the match? Again, because I am also a wrestler. And I'll be like, I don't know. And he's like, what do you mean you don't know? You're the one who just shot the match. Yeah, I shot the match to make sure you look good on film or on the TV. Okay. If you want me to ask you, tell you how you look good in the ring, I'll have to go back and watch that again. Okay, and then I can give you notes on that, you know. And a lot of people don't understand that, okay. But, David, I'm sure you can understand that. And, Mac, I know you can. You know, when you're watching something for the general purposes of how does this look in general, okay, or even when you're filming it, you have to go back and you have to look at, well, how was this person's individual performance? How was the lighting on that scene? How was the blocking on that scene? And you're looking at something for completely different reasons each time you re-look at something you shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, as an editor...
From A, B to C there. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine.
Hey,
sorry, I didn't...
Yeah, if David doesn't mind, I don't mind. It's his show, so.
No, but
okay.
Yeah,
well,
like... Sorry,
go ahead, David.
Ahead.
No, it's your show. You go ahead.
All I was gonna say was to Dan, in wrestling, we gotta put each other over. That isn't just for the workers inside the ring. That's for the crew. That's for the talent. That's for catering. That's for everybody. We all gotta work together to make each other. We can break each other, but we can also make each other, and I choose to make each other.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's something we try to teach at our wrestling school. It's a shame you live so far away. Mac,
yeah.
he lives due north of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which is famous for nothing other than the fact that a little movie called Slapshot was made about the Johnstown Chiefs, which in the movie they call the Charlestown Chiefs. So...
Hey, Luke Gallows came from Cumberland, so. That's
yeah, you're right about that too.
Oh, I'm glad you guys are finding common ground there. One thing that I wanted to mention, since you guys were talking about seeing everybody, I had seen something that somebody posted that they were being made to feel funny because. Not funny, but bad, because their father was a janitor, and people were telling them, it was, you know, a meme, but they were telling them not to tell people that their father was a janitor because people would make fun of them. And the person decided, no, that's not right. I'm going to be proud of my father being a janitor. And so I got on there, of course, and I made a few comments. There were lots and lots of comments on this. But I got on there and made a few, and I said, well, what I always tell people, I put the people that put people down, I put them in their place by letting them know, if it wasn't for a janitor, do you realize how dirty and grimy and nasty and literally, pardon my language, shitty the places would be if there weren't janitors? I mean, that's what they're there for. And if it wasn't for the janitor doing that work, then you would probably have to do it. And then I also brought up, the way that I put it is, I said, put in the name of a fast food joint here. But you go into wherever and you want to get a burger. Well, if it wasn't for the people working there, you would have to make your food at home. So show everybody a little respect and a little appreciation. Don't go into these places treating people like crap that are doing jobs that you think are less worthy, that the only reason why you don't have to do those jobs is because those people are doing their jobs. Am I right, guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I'm disabled now, so I don't really work as a nurse, even though I'm still a nurse. But when I was working as a nurse, I had respect for everybody I worked with. And not everybody does that. And I know, because working on the lower end of the totem pole, before I was a nurse, I was a nursing assistant. And I was treated like crap by a lot of nurses and doctors and everything else. And, of course, once you become a nurse, you're still treated like crap by a lot of doctors. But I remember that, and I don't want people to feel like that around me. I would tell people, thank you for whatever it was they were doing. If somebody from housekeeping came in and emptied the trash can, I would say, thank you. How is that hard? That's nothing hard, because if it wasn't for them, again, if it wasn't for them emptying that trash can, I would have to empty it. So, yes, thank you. That gives me less to do. So that's all we're talking about here, listeners, is that give everybody respect, give everybody the appreciation they deserve, and maybe point out the good work that they're doing. Like, if you see somebody doing something and you like the way it looks, let them know. Don't just ignore it. That's the way I feel, anyway.
Speaking of which, Mac, do you mind if I ask David another question?
Oh, no, go right ahead. We've still got, like, 16 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay. David, tell me, because I'm looking at your page, Facebook page, for anybody that's interested, what I keep on referring to. I hope I pronounced this name right. Tell me a little bit about some of your co-stars. Sarah Uten?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Yep, Sarah Uten. That is right.
So tell me a little bit about her.
So Sarah Uten is, I believe this is her second feature film. I know she's done a movie for Netflix, but legally we're not allowed to say that right now, just what it is. I know she's gone through some legal stuff with that before she can confirm anything. But, yeah, this is her second feature film. She is a tremendous actress and model living out in Ohio who actually made the drive to Frederick, Maryland to shoot The Choice at an actual escape room. But, yeah, Sarah is one of the leads in this film who plays a character with a name based off her real name. But instead of Sarah, she plays a character named Sierra Whitaker, and she's a self-harm addict. And there's a lot that goes into this movie that you're going to have to wait to see what happens.
Yeah, you put up some single scene shots of Sarah, and let me make sure I get her name right. Tell me about Nicole, I hope I do this right, O'Haver?
Whitney Nicole O'Haver, yep.
Yeah. Okay. O'Haver, I'm sorry.
You're fine. She resides in Cumberland as well, so she is actually a local theater friend of mine. She's done a lot of plays, like so many plays. I know she just recently started or wrapped up the Rocky Horror Picture Show play down here in Cumberland. I'm sure she'll be cool with me mentioning her here. But she is a tremendous actress as well. I think she's the only actress in this town that I've ever worked with, and she has done a phenomenal job. And in this movie, she has such a crucial part, but again, it's one of those scenes where you have to watch it to understand it before I can give you any more.
Well, I love your shot selection. Hold on, let me make sure I get her name right again. Sarah's eyes look like they're a little glassed over, like she's emotionally distraught about something. But
yep,
that's
one of the emotional scenes.
Yes. And then Whitney, the way you have her red lit, it looks like it's a different emotion, where one is sadness, the other one looks like she's dealing with some type of being frightened or horror thing going on there.
Well, we are in an actual escape room that we filmed down at the owner, Stephen Winder's Clue IQ escape room down in Frederick, Maryland. It looks like an art house. It looks like an art fun house. I will say this. The scene in which you're referring to, that it is actually depicting a very crucial moment that opens the film, and all I can say about it is a little gory, a little violent. It's very troubling. But yeah, I just kind of have to tease you guys right now. I can't give away too much.
So am I right? The red light, the red lighting that you chose is for effect here? I won't go any further than that.
Yeah,
because
it's for a dark effect.
Yes. Because, yep, again, right. I'm looking at the visual cues here, and I'm enjoying your choice of the way you light things. It's like it actually gives cues to what may be happening at the time or what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Brett Thomas.
So Brett Thomas he's actually one of our co-producers on this film. He's actually been helping me a lot. He also lives in Cumberland, but he's been helping me a lot with the behind-the-scenes stuff, the legal paperwork, the contract stuff, all that stuff. So he's been a tremendous work. He's actually another one of the co-stars, Russell Ketterman, my best friend. It's his fiance, and Brent actually plays a character named Garrett, which is someone's brother in this movie, and very emotional. Again, I can't give away too much about it because it will spoil a crucial part of the movie. But
okay, fair enough.
He did a great
Russell Ketterman?
Yep, Russell Ketterman plays a character named Matt, and Matt is a gambling addict, and he has a pretty emotional moment, and he's someone that you really just feel for, and it's kind of sad what happens to him, but it will all make sense in the end.
And Megan, you said it's special effects.
Mm-hmm. She does special
and
effects.
And I don't know how I didn't notice this. You actually have Eric Shea tagged on this. So did Eric actually have something to do with the movie?
Yep. Eric plays a character named Travis who's down on his luck at the group meetings, and he worships Brad, which is the character in which I play, which is the group counselor leader.
Okay. So Eric's actually in the movie. That's kind of cool. So I did not realize that until just now.
Yep, he has a speaking part and everything. He's very crucial to the film.
And I'm sorry to take over, Mac, but you know how I get. I get all curious once I start looking at something.
Yeah. Well, like I say, if David doesn't mind, I don't mind. But for the listeners that may have missed it, what Dan and David have been talking about is a film called The Choice, which I believe is still filming, if I am remembering correctly. And David is a cinematographer, editor, director, actor, writer, you know, like with what he said earlier, he likes to do it all. And so he's been talking about what it's about, which is people in a in an actual escape room. And so one thing that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned, because I know it's okay for you to mention him because you've been talking about it, you do have a big name star that's doing a voice. And so I want you to say who it is and then how it came about that you got them to do the film.
All right. So, the game master in the escape room, the guy's voice that you will hear throughout the entire movie is none other than the legendary Oscar-nominated, Academy Award-nominated Eric Roberts. And yeah, it was really just a situation of during COVID, he was kind of bored. He had some free time, and I just reached out because I believe in just following your dreams. Be like, well, he's never gonna answer, and like, well, you don't know till you try. So I tried. I had a plan. I had a small little budget in mind, and I talked to his wife Eliza, and we have since just become great friends, and just they've really kind of taken me in like a family, and it's just been such a learning experience. And the amount that he was willing to help us for such a low amount of money was, I will just always be grateful for him and his wife, Eliza, for making it happen.
Aww. Well, people like him, that's why people love them in the industry, because they remember what it was like to be starting out. And that's why they'll do some of these films where they're people that nobody's ever heard of, and they'll do it for like a piddling little amount because they believe in helping other filmmakers achieve their dreams like they were able to do.
Yeah, that means the world to me, and like all the people that we were able to get attached to this project. Like, we have a major casting announcement tomorrow at noon Eastern time on the Facebook page and on Twitter. But yeah, we were able to get a lot of great actors and actresses in this film, including Michael Ochitorina, Giovanna Casanova, and they did Game Master moments in this movie as well, and everyone just did a phenomenal job in this movie, and I really, really can't wait for people to see. So far, the first impressions have been blown away with what we were able to do with no money, and I really hope the audience feels how much passion went into this movie, how many sleepless nights went into this, how many tears went into the script, how much you can realize this isn't even a horror movie, as much as it may come off to be. But it's a psychological drama thriller that will, I hope, make you guys cry at the very end of it in a great way.
Oh, I'm sure it probably will. I'm easy to make cry, so if it's supposed to make you cry, I more than likely will.
Mm-hmm. It's an ending you will never expect.
Aw. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I did want to shortly go over, because there's only one little film that we haven't gotten to yet, and it's kind of like a little bit of a backtrack, but we were talking about The Choice because that was already being talked about. And we've only got like 6 minutes, but I'm sure it wouldn't take that long to talk about it. You did a little short called Hey Alice that you, again, were the writer, actor, editor, and producer. So give a little synopsis about that, and then tell us about the experience of doing that little short.
Yes, so I played a character in that short film, Hey Alice, known as Daniel Becker. I basically was living the life. I had everything I've always wanted. I was a successful CEO businessman, and a group of business colleagues came over who were trying to steal the original prototype for a model of, like, think Siri, think of Hey Google, Hey Siri, moments like that. Well, I had created my own. Hold on, I just activated Siri. Anyway, I was, making that program, Hey Alice, and the obsession with Alice and my character became a little demented. It became a little twisted. I kind of fell in love with Alice, to be honest with you. But yeah, anyway, the voice actress for Alice is also in The Choice that I just brought up, Giovanna Casanova. She played the voice of Alice. She has a tremendous talent. She was just so willing to help and really made the movie stand out. And we also were able to get a lot of people in this film attached to it, including a good friend of mine. I hope he doesn't mind mentioning him. Tony Sampson, which you guys may know as Eddie from the Cartoon Network hit series, Ed, Edd n Eddy. I brought him out of retirement for this movie somehow.
Wow.
I don't know why he did it, but I love him for it, and he knows that. But yeah, I mean, that was able to happen with this film, and this was the last film, and the next thing will be The Choice.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing both of those. Well, and seeing Riker as well. But The Choice, I've heard a lot of good buzz about that one from, like, people seeing the things on Facebook and YouTube and the trailers and things like that. It's all been good buzz. I haven't heard anything bad.
That's awesome. Yeah, like next week I even got like a magazine interview for it. It's getting some press, and I hope we can keep it going.
Well, good. I hope so too, because it seems like a very worthy project and something that will showcase your talents, of course, and showcase other people's talents and just be something to entertain, because that is the main thing about a film, is to entertain. And like I've said often on my show and just in general to people that I'm talking to, if a movie is boring, that's a cardinal sin of a movie. It can be bad acting, it can have bad directing, and I'll probably still kind of enjoy it as long as it's not boring. If it bores me, I'll probably end up turning it off. But I can be like 99.99999% sure that the choice is not going to bore me.
No, I make sure everything's adrenaline-based. I have terrible ADD. My attention span's terrible. So I'm able to thankfully write from that mindset of what would bore me, what would get to the point and keep going and keep me on the edge of my seat. This entire script keeps you on the edge of your seat from start to finish.
Good. That's the kind of thing that I like. I mean, I don't have to be on the edge of my seat during the whole movie, but like I say, as long as I'm not bored, I don't care. I watched this show called, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called 3%, and it's a foreign show, but it's very interesting about the 3% of the population gets to go to this place called the offshore if they pass what they call the process, where they take a bunch of tests and everything. So it's more or less one of those shows where it's the elite. There's 3%, which is the elite. And then, of course, that just causes a bunch of unrest. But the reason why I mentioned it is because it wasn't like a real exciting show or anything, but there was enough going on that it was very mesmerizing as I was watching it, because the sets were good, the acting was good. Even though it was dubbed, you could tell by the way the actors with their lips moving and their the different movements that they make and everything, you can tell whether they're a good actor or not, even if you're not hearing their original speaking voice. So it's a very good show if anybody wants to watch it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I finished watching it already. I got like on a binge. I binge watched it. So sorry to go off on that, but it went along with what we were talking about. So we're getting down to just a couple of minutes, and usually near the end of the show like this, I like to ask my guest, and I will ask the guest of the guest too if he wants to say, once you're done, how people can get in touch with you. What's the best way to get in touch with you, David?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. So I am actually very active on Facebook, and you can actually add me as a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/DavidBennettActor. That's David Bennett, spelled B-E-N-N-E-T-T. You can also find me on Twitter at, this is my favorite handle, twitter.com/unexpectedchild. You can find me on Instagram at instagram.com/DavidClaireBennett. And, of course, my main thing outside of Facebook is YouTube at youtube.com/DavidBennettPresents.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Dan, did you want to tell people how to get a hold of you?
Sure, why not? Also Facebook, so Dan Lauria, D-A-N-L-A-U-R-I-A. Make sure you do not go to Dan Lauria from the Wonder Years, because that has happened already more than once. I usually have a wrestling picture on mine so that you can tell the difference. And you can contact me at my wrestling school, which is America's Wrestling Academy. So it's America's without an, it's not an N, it's an S, and there's no apostrophe. So it's America's Wrestling Academy. I have a group and a page.
Okay, thank you. David Claire Bennett, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, and I thank Dan Law for being the guest of my guest, And thank you very much, both of you, and have a good night.
All right. Thank you
all
so
right.
much for the opportunity, Mac. And nice to meet you, Dan.
Yeah, you too. I look forward to seeing more of your stuff, David.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, good night, both of you.
All right. Have a good show, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.